setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
All right, here we go, helping you win in your work so that you can make the money you want to make, get the promotion you really want to get, live the dream out that you want to live, pay off debt, take vacations around the world. Where do you want to win at work? Where do you want to win in life? You want to see a dream come true? You want to make a contribution through a side hustle or through volunteering, something that matters deeply to you, and you want to make it happen. We're here for you. 844-747-2577 is the number to jump in. 844-747-2577. Okay. Here's why you should stay in your job. Some of you going, huh? I feel like, Ken, you're the guy that helps everybody leave their job. Well, yes and no. Quick review. We've had a lot of people call the show that felt like they were supposed to change careers and pivot, and I talked them out of it because it's like, no. You don't need to change jobs or careers. You need to change your mindset. You need to be patient. You need to develop more. Stay in the career, change locations. And today I want to caution some of you that are getting swept up in these job numbers where you see this so-called great resignation, 12 plus million people over the last 3 months have switched jobs. That's extraordinary. It's historic. Never seen it before. So before you get caught up in the wave, because here's the reality, let me tell you, the market's hot. So if you know you're supposed to move on and it's strategic to move on, well, you know, jump on ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. They're my partner here, the number one hiring site in the country. If you know you're supposed to move, then exhaust all things. Go, go, go. But is it right for you to leave? Let's look at four reasons why you should stay. First, foremost, you actually need more skill and experience. I would liken this to pulling the brownies out of the oven a little early. Now, Stacey Coleman is prolific at making brownies. The Coleman kids, I got three teens, they love brownies. They just do. And I'll tell you what else she's good at is the old Christmas cookies or any kind. This time of year, it's fantastic. I walked downstairs the other night, Amanda, and I was watching, Sunday night, I was watching football with one of my kids upstairs. I came down to the kitchen, and as I was walking down the steps, the back stairway, the waft hit me. The smell wafted up the back stairway, and I wasn't sure if it was a new candle or if it was the real deal. You know they make all these amazing candles now.
Absolutely.
And they got Christmas cookie candle and all kinds of, you know this. By the way, while I'm on this subject, very few things give me tremendous pleasure at the mall because I don't want to go to the mall anymore. It's too much. Very few things give me pleasure at the mall like one of those Yankee candles or one of those stores you walk by, and boy, is it an assault on the senses. Okay, so I'm walking down the back stairway. Squirrel, you folks know I deal with this. I'm walking down the back stairway, and I think, oh, she's got a new candle. Smells like Christmas cookie. I walked in, and to my delight, it were real Christmas cookies she was making. Stacy's great at brownies, cookies. Like, she makes them at the right time. Feels good, smells good, all the things. But here's what I know. You pull those brownies out or those cookies out too early. Right? It's just a bad thing for the stomach. The expectations is bad. Some of you need to stay in your job because you haven't baked long enough. You listen, for you to be effective, you need to stay a little bit longer. You don't have enough skill or experience to be testing the market, not to do what you want to do. That's the first reason. Second reason some of you need to stay is because it's actually the right ladder. You know what your problem is? You're just like me. You're just like most humans. You're not being patient. You need to chill out. You're on the right ladder. And if you're patient and persistent, you're going to climb to the next rung. So this one is, would you chill out? We've been conditioned in this world. We want everything now. Third reason you need to stay. Some of you, to move where you want to move, are considering taking a pay cut. Now, there are times where I will say, after talking to callers, and we've assessed this, that they can actually afford to take a temporary cut. Short-term temporary, not long-term temporary. There's levels of temporary. You know what I'm talking about. And in those cases, when someone can afford it and it is truly short-term temporary, I will say, it's a good move, take the cut. But some of you right now are going, Ken, I need to move. This is an opportunity. I'm all about the ladder. I can get on the ladder. But it's too much of a pay cut at the wrong time. I'm never going to recommend that somebody take a pay cut to go backwards financially if it puts them in a real dire situation. It's not worth it because you're assuming that this opportunity is the only opportunity, and I got news for you, it's not the only opportunity. So if you can't actually afford, and I mean without dire straits, I mean, if you can do it with a little bit of sacrifice, great. But some of you can't afford to leave your job. You need to get stable financially before we think about moving. And then the fourth reason, you're actually not clear on where you want to go, what you want to do. So a move for you right now is like millions of people who just said, I can get a great paycheck right now. Woohoo! It's a change of scenery. And I'm making 15% more. Yay! Whee! You know, it's like, oh, it's big fun. Let's do this. They're not thinking about anything strategically. They're not thinking about anything long term. And I'm going to tell you, no, I wouldn't move just for a paycheck right now. I really wouldn't. You are only delaying the inevitable, the inevitability that you are just settling, or the inevitability that you're going to have to figure out what you're supposed to be doing. So to me, it's just a Band-Aid. By the way, a Band-Aid that wears off pretty quickly. You ever put on a Band-Aid for a cut and you go, oh, this is great. And then you start doing something around the house or you get it wet and you got to pull the Band-Aid off. It's like, oh, that didn't do a whole lot. I got to go put on another Band-Aid. That's exactly what a lot of these people, 12 plus million people, there are going to be millions of people who took a job for a bigger paycheck and it was a Band-Aid. And the Band-Aid's going to come off. The Band-Aid's going to get dirty and gross. And the thing that was like, yay, a Band-Aid. It's so exciting to put a Band-Aid on a cut. We feel like we got relief. And then you see that Band-Aid a day later or 2 days later and it's got all that junk on it, the fuzz, the scuzz. It's dirty, stinks. You know what I'm talking about. There's a lady out in the lobby going, oh, yuck. Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, that new job you take in 6 months may be like that dirty Band-Aid. Think about it. I mean, listen, I'm just keeping it real because I get your calls on the show. That disgusting Band-Aid after 3 days smells and stinks and it's not effective. Well, that's the job you took that was just a paycheck. It wasn't on purpose. It's not in your sweet spot, or it's not on a ladder that leads you to your sweet spot. And I'm telling you, it gets stinky, gross, and nasty. And then, now what? Folks, that's just truth right there. And this is the Ken Coleman Show. Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. Do you want to make more money to do what you love with the people you love? Have you ever thought about bringing in more income by selling products on Amazon? I want to introduce you to Seth Kniep, the founder of Just One Dime. Starting with a single dime, Seth built a multi-million dollar Amazon business, and you can do it too. With 126 staff and Amazon expert coaches, Just One Dime has trained over 10,000 people from around the world, many of whom are now multimillionaires. Their award-winning online training, along with personal one-to-one mentorship, will walk you through the entire process, including opening your Amazon seller account, building your brand, selecting a profitable product, finding the right supplier, launching your product, and marketing and managing your online business. If you'd like to learn more, schedule a call today by going to jod.com/Ken Coleman. Again, that's jod.com/Ken Coleman.
Hello.
helping you get unstuck and then get the paycheck and the purpose out of your work. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Yes, you can actually love your work. You can actually do work that is producing results that you have a connection to, values. I can show you. We'll help uncover that for you. 844-747-2577. Now, one of the things we've done on this show from time to time, and this takes a while, right? So we don't do a lot of these. And the reason is because this is not an overnight journey. But we have what's called a dream scream where someone calls in and says, hey, Ken, I am actually living the professional dream. I am there. I'm dreaming bigger. I'm just getting started. And we've got one right now from Ogden, Utah. Ryan joins us for a dream scream. Ryan, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet, Ryan. Well, first of all, congratulations. And I am so excited for people to hear your journey. So
thank you.
Let's start with, where were you previously? Take us back.
Yeah, so previously I actually was doing a teaching job, honestly. I kind of thought that was going to be the thing that I loved, and I got into teaching and I realized, man, I really don't like this. I love people, but I was still in junior high and it was just tough, and I was working more than I ever was, and lesson planning late at night, and I just thought, I'm not really enjoying this as much as I thought I would. And so, I've been talking to my wife a lot over the years, and I've kind of jumped from job to job, and she said, if you're going to do something, or you're going to change jobs, why don't you do something that you love and something that fits your talents and your passions? And I said, yeah, that's what Ken Coleman's, talks about. I've been listening to you for a while. And I said, I've been reading your book and I've been trying to network. And, and I always thought it was a pipe dream to get in this industry that I'm in now. And
why did you want people to hear that. Why did you feel it was a pipe dream? What was so scary or intimidating for you?
To kind of get into what I do a little bit, I'm now actually in an HR job in the action sports industry. So I work for Woodward Park City, which is a huge action sports hub. So they've got skateboarding, snowboarding, trampolines, foam pits, launch ramps. They've got pros that come through there all the time. I mean, Ryan Sheckler, Sean White, a bunch of people come up. And I always thought, well, I love snowboarding, I love skating, I love mountain biking, but I can't compete, or who gets to say they get to go do that type of thing? And I always thought, well, that's just for pros or for the videographers or things like that. And she said, well, you've got people skills, you've done HR, their companies like anybody else, they need to be run and managed also.
Yeah.
He said, why don't you look into it? And I said, oh, okay.
All right. So that leads us to what you actually did. Now, we don't have a ton of time, but walk us through.
No worries.
So you've been listening to the show. You go, Ken's challenging me here. I figured it out. I'm going to do this. Why you want to do it, where you'd like to do it. What did you actually do to what was the process like of getting hired there for you? What'd you do?
Yeah, so I've read your book. I've been listening to you for a while, and I just thought, well, first off, I'm going to buy your resume templates. So I bought those, revamped my resume, and I just started looking. And to be honest, it's funny. It was probably 1 o'clock in the morning one night. I was just searching through jobs, and I found a talent development specialist for Woodward. So I applied. The next day, he reached out to me and said, I'd like to do a Zoom interview with you. So I did that. About a week later, they wanted me up on site, had an in-person interview with the director of talent and culture, the HR manager of Woodward, and some other people. And then I waited over a month, and I was really nervous. And he ended up calling me back, and I kind of did some follow-up emails and said, thanks for the opportunity. Looking forward to hear from you. Weeks later, he emails me back. He said, why don't you come up on site? I said, okay. And he said, well, the HR manager that you interviewed with left.
So that was the reason for the delay.
Yeah. And he said, my pitch to you is, he said, I loved your presentation that you did during the interview. I love your background in HR. I love your personality. He actually offered me the HR. It was the HR manager role, but it's kind of changed a little bit, but he offered me her position. So it was actually a better position, better pay than what I had applied for. And I said, oh my goodness, great. I said, thank you. This is amazing. I said, I love the industry. When I think about coming here, I get excited, and the people I've met, and just to be able to help people, but also be around that industry of skating and snowboarding and that, and having free access to the facility, and a bunch of perks.
That's amazing. Great. Folks, you're listening to Ryan. He's calling in from Ogden, Utah. He's doing his dream scream here in a minute. And I love the story of your wife just encouraging you. How big of a deal is it to have a spouse who just says, you know what, why don't you consider? Why don't you take a shot? How important is that to you if you look back on that?
Oh, it's vitally important. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't really be where I am without her. I mean, she's put up with a lot with me and my conflicts and my changing. And she said, will you just pick something that you love and just do it, please?
Oh, come on. That's good. What's your wife's name?
My name's Hannah.
Hannah, dropping the truth bomb. Why don't you just pick something you like or you love and do it? Hannah could host the Ken Coleman Show. That's pretty darn good advice. Sounds really familiar.
She doesn't care what we make. She said, I don't need to make a ton of money. I just want you to be happy and enjoy what you're doing, and we'll get by.
All right, bro. I hope you are. I hope you are really thinking about something special for Hannah, because you're on the path. You're in the sweet spot. Dream job, doing a dream scream. Okay, let's move forward here. Okay.
Okay.
How does it feel? How different does it feel now to be working in a dream job, which is allowing you to use your talent, what you do best, to do work you love, passion, to produce results that matter to your mission? How does it feel?
It feels great. It does. I mean, I'm a lot happier when I'm off work. There was times where I was kind of frustrated and I just felt like there was kind of some tension in the home, you know, at night.
Yeah.
I feel better there. I'm you know, a lot more patient with my kids, and I get excited to get up and go to work. I've got a little bit of a commute. It's about 45 to 50 minutes, which is a little bit longer than I had, but where I'm going and what I'm doing, I enjoy it. So I don't mind that. It feels great.
You're telling me that being in your sweet spot, in your dream job, you're telling me it has a positive effect on your relationships life, your relational life?
It does.
Wow. Because you're not carrying any crap home with you.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's what I try to tell people. This isn't just about a paycheck. It isn't just about a contribution to people. It's also about your relationships. It's fascinating. Yep. All right. What would you say to people that are listening right now that aren't in their dream job? They've been listening to this show and they're kind of going, all right, I'm figuring it out, or I know what it is, but I don't know how to get there. Or I know what it is, I know how to get there, but I'm letting something hold me back. What would you say to them? What would you encourage them to do based on your journey and your success?
I'd encourage them to just not be afraid to try. I mean, honestly, I put off for years, almost 10 years. I was trying to be somebody that I wasn't, for other people's approval, for my family's approval, for I don't even know what. Things that didn't matter, and what matters is me and my wife and our family and our decisions. And so, just don't be afraid to try. Get out there, network, talk to as many people as you can, and use your templates. Those are great. Utilize your resources. Your book is great. I need to purchase your Paycheck to Purpose book.
But, no, you do not. No, you do not, because I'm going to give it to you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
That is the smallest of gifts I could give you for calling in and sharing your story. These dream screams are important for people to hear, because I can teach and I can coach all day long. At the end of the day, they need to hear from the Ryans of the world. So a quick commercial, the rest of you out there, if you stepped into it and you're willing to call in, we want you to hear it. We want people to hear your story. So I'm going to give you a copy, whether you want the ebook, the audio. But in fact, I'll tell you what, Amanda, let's give him all three versions and he can give an ebook or an audiobook away, or the hard copy. I'm going to give you all three. Let's do it. Count it down for 3, 2, 1. Let's hear I'm Living the Dream.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. I'm Living the Dream.
There it is. There it is. Short, simple, sweet. He's living it, and he's just getting started. taking the suck out of Sundays. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Some of you are going, huh? But I got your attention. And a lot of people hate Sunday nights because they're thinking about, oh gosh, I got to get back to another job that's just a J-O-B. It's not even great. I don't enjoy it. It's toxic. Well, folks, there is freedom. There's a path out of that. And we can help you here on the Ken Coleman Show, 844-747-2577. Now, beyond helping you get clear or helping you get qualified or helping you get connected or helping you start the right way or helping you get promoted, helping you get the dream job, I also want to inform you, I am a man of the people, and somebody has to be looking out for you folks. What's going on in the world at work? How does it affect you? Well, here's a new, really, really interesting strategy as it relates to compensation. Is it going to catch on? Kind of feel like it's going to. At what rate? I don't know. I tend to think it's not going to catch on at a huge level, but we'll see. Let's get to it in the news. By the way, after I get through this article, I've got another breaking news thing that's on more of a personal note for you people. But I feel like I got to help you. So we'll see. Here's the headline from CBS News. At this tech company, workers vote on each other's pay raises. What? I'm sorry, come again? I did a double take at my desk, Alex, when I looked at this for today. I read the headline and I went, snap the neck back. What? Workers voting on each other's pay raises? Whoa, what is this? The company is Expensify. The CEO is David Barrett. And he said, I think it has a nice benefit. We think it controls for internal bias because there's no manager you have to suck up to. More on that in a little bit. The only way you can game the system is by kicking butt. You win by being amazing. Really? You mean you don't win by sucking up to your coworkers? I don't know. We'll break this down. He thinks it's as pure as it gets. We'll get to that. How does it actually work? So the process is voluntary. It's not mandatory. They say that most of the 140 workers do participate in it, but wait for this. The average amount of time it takes for the employees who participate in voting on their coworkers' pay scale is 10 hours. What? They get all this information. They get a side-by-side. Here's Joy. Here's Jerry. Which one of these two deserves a pay raise? It's fascinating. They vote on this, and then they wait it. The voting process is done every 6 months, and it requires time, so much time, because employees are shown a pair of workers side-by-side with their names and information and their accomplishments during the previous 6 months. Then they're basically asked which one should be paid more. Does anybody else think this is wacky? I think it's wacky. I'll tell you why in a minute. Because each employee must vote on every possible pairing, each worker ends up voting more than 9,000 possible pairs. That's why it takes forever. 140 people, all these different pairings. 10 hours to do this? Ay, ay, ay. I don't think this is productive either. Now, here's what the company does. After all the votes are in, the company trims out the top and bottom scores to solve for issues like people who have grudges or for people who want to just reward their best friends in the office. Next, workers are ranked on a scale of 1 to 140, reflecting the amount of employees at Expensify. Workers that land on the top of the scale get the biggest pay hikes, while those at the bottom may see a small or no raise, but nobody's pay gets cut. So they quote Harvard Business School professor Julian Zlotev in this article, CBS Market Watch. It says, it sounds like they're trying to democratize the performance evaluation, but he points out there could be issues if you don't know the people you're being asked to rank. Duh. So essentially they're asking everybody to vote on this, but most people have just what information is being provided by who? I think it's fraught with all kinds of holes and problems. He goes on to say, you'll inevitably be ranking people you don't have a lot to do with on a day-to-day basis. Exactly. And let me tell you my biggest problem with this. The CEO, David Barrett, says this kind of controls for the sucking up to a manager It controls for removing negotiation from pay. Okay, fine. But let me tell you what it also removes that I think is completely unhealthy for a well-run organization. The dynamic of the relationship of accountability and servitude from a leader to an employee. Here's what I mean. When we as employees don't have accountability with our leader on performance measures, are we fulfilling our key responsibility areas? Are we measuring and delivering the results that we said we were going to do? There needs to be accountability there. And by the way, leaders need to be serving these people, helping these people hit these goals, not just, here are your goals. I am your leader. I'll talk to you at your annual review. No, a real leader is serving, supporting the team member to accomplish the goals that both the leader and the team member have agreed to. This kind of socialistic, true democracy removes that very key ingredient in a healthy run organization. That's what I think. It's not good for you, the worker. Because absent of a leader, we got, well, I'm up against another person and my coworkers who don't even know what I do, why I do it, how I do it, they're going to vote on me. That's nonsensical. I hope this doesn't catch on. If it does, I believe it will fall like a house of cards. There's got to be leadership accountability, and there's got to be leadership serving the people to be able to win in their role. All right, so that's the serious news item. I decided to surprise the team. They didn't know I was going to add this to end the news. Because during the commercial break, I scan the news anyway. So I thought, oh, now this is interesting. According to the internet, and you know how reliable the internet is, Flaming Hot Cheetos are in short supply. What is going on? Are they going to be discontinued? Frito-Lay has not commented on this. That's interesting. Social media users are adamantly saying they can't find the snack. They can't find it. The people have spoken, Joe. They want their Flamin' Hot Cheetos. They can't find them. Frito-Lay's quiet on this issue. Why? I say to you, if there wasn't a shortage, Frito-Lay would be saying, we got plenty of the Flamin' Hot Cheetos. They're coming back. So I just thought that was amusing. We have all kinds of shortages, supply chains. It's causing all kinds of issues. And apparently a lot of people on the internet, dare I say why they want the Flamin' Hot Cheetos, let your mind run with that one. But apparently these things are very popular. I, for one, did not know they were that popular. And I'll tell you why I decided to share the news item. I had my first Flamin' Hot Cheeto about a month ago. And I think one of my boys likes them. And you know, when you go into the pantry, come on, Alex, you're a dad. You know what I'm talking about. You kind of wander in there, and it's specifically Stacy has bought these things for the kids' lunch items. And I'm over there thinking about the daddy tax. I saw a bag of Flamin' Hot Cheetos and I went, well, this is interesting. I love Cheetos. Okay, I'm 47 years of age. I'm like right square in the demographic of the Cheeto generation. And I thought to myself, I haven't had the Flamin' Hot Cheetos. And you know what I'm talking about, Alex, where you kind of look around, you're kind of feeling guilty, although I paid for them. If I want a bag of Flamin' Hot Cheetos, I'll take a bag of Flamin' Hot Cheetos. You start getting indignant about it. So you go from guilt to, wait a second, I pay for these things. I'm going to have myself a bag of Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Well, I did. And I got to tell you, I liked them. I liked them a lot. So There it is. I don't know if we're going to see a crisis here or not, but apparently on the internet, it's a hot news item, and I decided to share a fun in the news item, not always so serious. Have you had Flamin' Hot Cheetos in the control room? Anybody?
Oh, yeah, definitely. They're the superior Cheeto, that's for sure.
You think they're superior?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Alex, the producer, has spoken. What say you? This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you win at work and in life. How can I help today? What are your pain points? What are you struggling with? You got some emotional junk holding you back? You got some tactical decisions you need to make as it relates to getting qualified? Looking for those connections that get you through the interview process, whatever it is. Hey, Ken, I just need some ideas. I got 3 or 4 ideas. I want to know which one might be more on purpose for me. Is this in my sweet spot? Those are the kind of questions we love to answer for you. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Quick callback to our last segment in the news item. I did some more research during the break, and apparently this is not just urban legend on the internet. The flaming Cheetos are, in fact, being limited by stores. You can only purchase so many. We're back to the toilet paper crisis, where you could only walk out with one package. By the way, full disclosure before we move on, Joe Hankin led to some of that issue. This guy was hoarding toilet paper in the early 2020s. At one point, I purchased a whole package from him. This is a true story, because I wasn't thinking about it. I thought it was a non-issue. Thank God for Joe. That really happened, by the way. I really did buy some toilet paper from him about April 2020. That was a...
I did not stock up. I just happened to have a little bit, and I wasn't going to let my bud go without, so...
Okay, that's his story. That's not the truth. That's fake news, but we'll move on. Let's go to Ruth, who joins us in Bixby, Oklahoma. Ruth, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You bet, Ruth.
I just had a question. I've been watching your show recently and trying to figure out, 3 years out of high school, I didn't go to college right off the bat because I was scared of taking on so much debt and I didn't know what I wanted to do. And now after listening to your show, I think I finally know what I want to pursue. I just want your advice really. Great. On what I should, how I should go forward with this.
Oh, I love this. So, what do you want to do?
I'm not exactly sure, but something along the lines of nature with plants, maybe I'm more on like the sciencey side, landscaping, something like that. You said to find something that you're passionate about.
Yep.
And I really am passionate about nature. I love God's creation and I want to help plants. I'm peaceful around plants. I have a lot of house plants, and right now, I feel like I jumped into this job that I currently have for the money.
What are you doing now?
I'm a janitor with Bixby Public Schools.
How much do you make?
Well, I make $12.39 an hour, which was like $2 more than what I was making at a grocery store.
Okay.
And I started out as a 10-month, and then they talked me into being a 12-month, which is more like kind of like a supervisor position.
Yeah.
Because I was going to get $500 more.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, okay.
Sure.
And now it's extremely exhausting.
Got it.
And I love the kids, but it's just too much for me. And it's not what I'm good at it, but it's not my passion.
No apologies.
At all.
No apologies necessary. I love this. So what's your specific question for me? How do I figure out which way to go in this plant-based work? Or how do I get there? I mean, I think there's a little bit of clarity still that's needed from you, which is you need some options to clarify and verify. That's what I think, but I want to make sure I answer your specific question. How can I help most?
Really just like, I feel like I have a lot of fear about it.
In what are the, that's good. Now we're getting somewhere. What are the fears, or what's the big fear?
That I'm not going to be able to find a job in the thing that I chose. That's my biggest fear.
Okay. So let's just take the world of plants. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And let's take some turns really quick and let's create a list of all the different places someone could work and deal with plants all day, every day. You ready? I'll start. Okay. A greenhouse florist. You go.
Landscaping.
Great. Plant research or plant development, meaning where they're kind of growing. So there's like growing centers, right? That kind of stuff. What else? You go.
There's scientists that look at the genetics of the plants and genetically mutate them for better nutrition.
Yes. I'm going to do another one. Plant-based foods and products. You go.
Mm-hmm. There's people that go out and test the soil, make sure that it's suitable for certain plants in certain areas.
All right. Have I made my point now?
Yeah. There's a lot of jobs out there.
There are a lot of jobs. So the fear that you can't make a living doing this kind of work is total garbage. In fact, as we just created a list, I would tell you that I bet you there are jobs in every one of those industries that as you just get in, I'm talking entry level, that are going to pay you as much, if not more, than you're making now. Do you agree with me?
Okay. Yes, sir, I do.
Now, we got to go do a little research to verify my hunch.
Uh-huh. Of course.
But my goodness, $1,239 an hour, you know, could you make that right now helping run a greenhouse? For a local,
I could. I mean, just got to get out there and look.
We start getting into the science side of this where you're in the lab and you're growing or doing research. We're talking about big money. Now, we're also talking about getting qualified.
Yeah, so that's why I would need college. Yeah.
All right, so here's what we do. So I'm going to walk you through my seven stages very briefly. You've listened to the show enough to call me. So this is just a quick refresher for you. You're in stage one, get clear. Okay. You have a little bit more to do in stage one. The homework assignments for you in stage one are, we started a list right there, but that was a bucket. That was a bunch of buckets, industries, if you will, or types of jobs. You got to start looking into those buckets and going, okay, of the specific type of jobs up the ladder, right? So running a landscaping company, that would be the top of the ladder in landscaping. You run your own landscaping business, right? Or you are a landscape architect. You start identifying things where you go, I think I'd like that in each of those areas. Okay. Then you go, all right, who's doing that kind of work that I can get in touch with? And I'm going to learn more about it. I'm going to do research and I'm clarifying what is involved day to day, what is involved to get qualified, which would be stage two. How much it costs, how long it'll take. And so we are clarifying and verifying. And then we're going to choose. And then you get into stage two, getting qualified. Okay?
Okay.
That while you're getting qualified, you're getting connected. You're using my proximity principle. And hey, I'm getting qualified. I want to work in some entry-level jobs so that I'm in the industry and I'm making connections so that when I'm actually qualified, I got great relationships, which will give me the opportunity to get started.
And maybe I could get some experience as well.
That's it. Okay. So you got this. I'm going to give you a copy of my best-selling book, From Paycheck to Purpose, which does a deep dive of all seven stages. It tells you exactly what to do in each stage, walks you along with practical steps and inspiring stories. That's my gift to you. Read it, follow it. You got it?
Yes, sir. I will. I'll do my best.
You got this. You're not going to do your best. You're going to do what you were born to do. And that is best for you, right?
Yes.
Remember this, Ruth. Your greatness is in your uniqueness. You just be you, and you're going to do great things.
Right.
I know. That's why I do this, to help people like you. And you got this. So hang on the line, whatever format she wants, Amanda. Ebook, audiobook, or hard copy. We'll get that for you. For the rest of you, you can get it, I think, for only $20 at kencoleman.com. And they also have a bundle. For $40, you can get the book, From Paycheck to Purpose, which again unpacks the seven stages. This is for anybody who's just wanting to move on. Move up. Okay? More money, more meaning. That's what the book is for. And then for those of you who really need help on the Get Clear stage, we've got the Get Clear Career Assessment that you've heard people's testimonies. It works. It's unbelievable. And you can get that as a bundle, the assessment, which is, think of it as your compass pointing out your mountaintop, and then the book helps you climb the mountain. Both of those you can get for $40. It's a great deal, kencoleman.com. I love the calls like Ruth, because it's another example of Ruth going, you know what? I know it's plants. I'm just not necessarily sure where and how with plants, but I know it's plants. And folks, sometimes that's the hardest part. The other stuff is easy. But what does she want to do? Where does she want to do it? Why does she want to do it? I love plants. They give me peace. They give me joy. That's enough of a clue. Hey, my time's almost up. But before I let you go, remember this. You matter, and you do have what it takes. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we have more from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future.
Hey, listeners, I'm George Camel, and in this 8-episode podcast series, we're exploring the student loan debt crisis and the impact it's having on real people. We're going to expose the predatory nature of the student loan industry, how we got here, why student loans are such a big deal, and what can be done to avoid them in the first place. We'll hear stories of people burdened by student loan debt and be inspired by people who graduated college debt-free. We'll also hear from experts and thought leaders along the way.
To hear full episodes, just search Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts or go to borrowedfuture.com.